This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Not even so much me as it's Roenick. He's good.
Oh, is that right?
Jeremy Roenick.
It's hard! Roenick!
Well, this is a highlight film, real gold.
20-year NHL veteran.
Roenick goes down the right side. He's looking, he's waiting.
That's it!
Number 500 for Jeremy Roenick.
Oh, that's got this place jumping.
Jeremy Roenick gets his 1,000th NHL point.
9-time All-Star.
A capacity crowd better than 17,000 at Chicago Stadium.
Roenick scores!
Team USA Olympia.
Tony Amati's in the high slot. Shot. Score! Roenick! Roenick scores a power play goal. That one went underneath Seliger. 1-0 Team USA.
Chicago Blackhawks legend.
Murphy picked out of midair to Amati. Set him up. Roenick! Hawkwind! 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 Jeremy Roenick!
Did the kid pick a pretty good time for his first playoff goal? Listen to the crowd. They're all on their feet. No.
2024 Hockey Hall of Fame.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to the Hall of Fame. Thank you to all my friends. This is a great way to end this chapter of my life. And I couldn't be more humble and more grateful. Thank you.
Jeremy Roenick with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We're going to talk to Jeremy Roenick in just a couple of minutes and very much looking forward to it. Here on The Score, it is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He is Mark Grote sitting in. And Grotes, you heard right there those highlights and a bit of Jeremy's speech. You know what they did when Roenick came back to the Blackhawks in December and they had to put together an homage video.
Yeah.
You know what they used, right? I mean, what would you use? And I'm asking you as if you should know, because you should know. After all, what song?
Was there a song that you and Mac made or something?
They used Pearl Jam Jeremy. Aren't you the Pearl Jam guy?
I am the Pearl Jam guy. That doesn't mean I'm responsible for knowing every single Pearl Jam detail. But that's right. Awesome. I did not know that. Yeah. But that's very cool. Of course they used Jeremy. Yes.
Of course it is.
There's association with all of grunge and those 90s Blackhawks.
Sure, of course. And even though that song and the subject matter is not good.
Yeah, that's the thing, Speaks. Like, you know, I feel like we've heard the Jeremy enough, and it's also when you know about the song lyrics.
That's the problem.
John Lev Hurton.
Yeah, I've used it before for JR, but I think it's been done.
Oh, you know? No, I think it's fine. It's fine. It's like if we had Al McInnes on and we were going to use Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, you don't do that. There's certain things you don't do because of what the song ends up being about.
Do you know that band, was it Filter that did that song?
Sir.
They had to defend themselves to Nirvana because people thought that song was about Kurt Cobain shooting himself.
Yeah,
like there was something that got started and they completely untrue.
Yeah.
But that's what a lot, that song's about Kurt Cobain. Did you know that? And
next,
it's not.
Next they're going to hear that Violet Grohl was sitting in with the surviving members of Nirvana.
I'm not going to try to explain all that again. Did you guys just refuse?
Could you clarify that? Can we do another segment where we clarify that?
You insist upon yourself, and you guys refuse to understand or listen to me and what I was trying to say. That
listening,
everybody sat in for Kurt Cobain, okay?
Right. I know, but listening
everybody
to you is...
You're getting there, man.
I got to check myself.
No, it's happening. I'm so pleased to have pointed that out this week. The slow morphing from Mark Grody into Les Grobstein. That is going on, and I've
everybody,
from many...
you weren't down there. I was.
Use your imagination, and you're probably right.
It's just you're so good at the impression, and you love them, and you understand it, and you get such good feedback on the impression. So now you're trapped in the feedback loop of knowing that if you sound a little more like Grobber, we're all going to probably enjoy it.
I do like that we will eventually get into an era, and we're probably already putting one foot into the era where there are people who have no idea who Les Grobstein is. I hate to say that because of the icon that he is and was. And that's okay, because now it just comes off as some character I do. So I think that Les had enough character that it doesn't matter if people... It's like the Harry Carey impersonation. People don't know who he is, but it's hilarious.
Well,
that's why Will Ferrell did it on SNL. People are like, who is this guy? It's
exactly
funny.
Exactly. There was a ton of people in the audience who had no idea who Harry Carey was. Well, that's like... I mean, we've talked a lot of SNL this week. Mike Myers, like the... It was Lorne Michaels that he was doing. Dr. Evil was Lorne Michaels.
Yes.
And Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers movies. Most people didn't know that was him doing Lorne Michaels, but that's what he was doing. So, you know, as long as it's good, then you're actually getting somewhere and creating a character.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know. Maybe it's something I just need to accept. And I think I've started the process of accepting that I'm morphing into Grobber. Now, I don't want those hours. I don't want this to start to the beginning of me ascending back into doing overnight radio. So, that's the only thing that I get scared of.
I totally understand. Although I do love that. I do miss the Score being live and local in the overnights.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a thing. I'm out here in Arizona. The Cubs and the Dodgers are playing right now out at Camelback Ranch, and the automated balls and strike system has been in effect. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the 5 o'clock hour and see how kind of it has gone today, because today's the first day that Major League Baseball teams have ever used it. Today, right here.
We are here.
The future is now. So that is underway. And then tomorrow it'll be Cubs and Dodgers. Right now, right here, during this time slot, you'll be hearing a baseball game instead tomorrow on The Score and the Cubs Radio Network.
Matt Shaw cracks one deep to left field. Gone. That's what I'm predicting. Matt Shaw will hit a home run for you, Matt Spiegel.
I thought you were doing some soft play-by-play right now.
I am not here to upstage you. I just think that you're going to get a little Matt Shaw home. I think PCA is going to get four singles for you and four or five stolen bases. So just be ready on those angles.
Yeah, I don't know if PCA will have four at-bats, but I like
that's
your
true
thinking.
Too.
Damn sure.
That's funny you say that. I bet PCA will get a ton of work. Like, he's not a made man yet, and Craig Counsell was hard on him last year.
Yeah, but even the starters will probably get three at-bats, something like that.
Two innings for whoever's pitching, if that, again.
If that.
Right?
If that, but the Cubs will have to ramp up faster than everybody else. You know, the Cubs and the Dodgers will have to ramp up faster so they can have some people actually ready to go in March. But you know, it's interesting because we're in that zone where baseball spring training is starting to enter the mindset, and you'll see it on your TV, hear it on your radio tomorrow, like we're talking about. And the NBA has been flailing along with its All-Star Weekend stuff, and the NHL has seized the moment. Are you finding a lot of people in your circle who are paying attention to this Four Nations hockey stuff that's been going on these last 2 weeks?
I think it's been one of the great word of mouth sporting events because it's one of those things where people are like, hey, what's this hockey thing that's going on? I keep hearing about this hockey thing so there's been this like slow crescendo, like people are hearing about the fights, they're hearing about the booing of the national anthem. Like, so there is, people are officially like into it, and probably like tonight it will culminate in the Canada-USA game at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean it always has a chance to grab you if you let it. And the common thing in our business as talk show hosts, and the common thing in the ears of so many of our listeners through the years, is to have it turn into this conversation about, can you believe they let this guy play and he got hurt and he's going to miss some games? Like, there's this guy, is Charlie McCoy, right, who got hurt. And he might miss 10 games. He might miss 20 games. Yeah. I don't know. Like, he's got a shoulder issue, and he's not going to play tonight in that game, and probably won't play for his team for a good couple of weeks or whatever it's going to be. And it's amazing. Like, those conversations feel so repetitive and so cyclical every time there's any international competition. And count me, for the record, count me as one of those guys who just doesn't give a crap about any of that. I don't care that teams might be upset about it. And I know there's money and there's commerce, but this is sports, and it's international sports, and there's so much pride and passion for the players themselves. And, like, they are allowed to play games hard if they want to. And I freaking love that these hockey players are playing these games hard because they want to. There's something so necessary about that in our sports intake. We so often, you know, we just did a Luis Robert story the other day where he's talking about, I got to be smarter. Got to be smarter. Got to make sure I don't run hard when it's cold. You know, like, we see all this stuff and all the, like, the load management stuff and no back-to-backs for a million NBA guys. And here we are daring to possibly bemoan the fact that some athletes are playing hard because they give a crap.
Right.
That's why we all watch in the first place. Just enjoy it. Sit there in the moment and enjoy this stuff.
Yeah, I think people will. Like I said, like, a lot of people are finally talking about it and asking about it. And there has been a lot. I mean, some of the things that have gone, the three fights in the first 9 seconds this past weekend. USA did beat Canada. For people who are just catching up right now, USA did beat Canada in the first game 3-1. Both teams, I got bullet points here, Spiegel. Teams finished the round robin play 2-1-0. This will be the fourth time these two teams have met in a best of final, and the USA has only won once. That was back in 1996, and there was a man named Old Man Tkachuk. Keith Tkachuk was on that team, as we talk about the other Tkachuks that are all over this tournament. Gary Suter was on the team. Chris Chelios was on the team. So while hockey on the whole is more heartfelt in Canada, obviously, like, it means everything to them to win in the exhibition style games, whether it's the Olympics or the World Cup or this, the Four Nations face off. But I'm kind of feeling it for the USA too. And it's time, Spiegel. It's time to win another tournament against Canada. It's time.
It is time. It has been great stuff. It's been very much at the forefront of the sports mindset over the past couple of weeks. And let's talk about it with the Hockey Hall of Famer himself. Jeremy Roenick joins us right now on The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, and him, Mark Grody. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. And JR, the Blackhawks ceremony in December was great. Haven't talked to you since then, at least. How's life as a Hall of Famer treating you these days?
It's amazing. So many great things have kind of transpired in my life. The last year of my life has been one of the greatest years of my life for so many different reasons. And I look forward to great things ahead. And number one is this game tonight versus U.S. and Canada. I totally agree with you. The sports world is in Boston right now on this game for many reasons. And I appreciate you guys having me on, because I always love talking to my Chicago crew.
Yeah, man. And we remember last time we talked to you, you were kind of open about, like, how things were starting to take a turn for the good. And it's nice that they still sound good. That you know, you're talking to a couple of guys here who've had moments where life had become unmanageable. You know what I mean? So it's like, you sound good and healthy and clear. So we're happy to hear you that way. This whole town is, frankly.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That is the word. Unmanageable is a real word, and it's. I don't wish that upon anybody. And I'm so happy that I am in the most manageable life and situation ever. And it's just, I look forward to every day. I really do.
That's awesome. Why has this thing been so juicy with the fights and the passion and a lot of interest? Why has it resonated the way that it has, JR?
Well, number one, because over the last 20 years, this rivalry, even more, 30 years, this rivalry has grown and has gotten more competitive. And I think the playing field has become almost equal. I mean, for hockey to be Canada's game, they've been the dominant force for decades. And United States, USA hockey has literally grown to be an equal partner in this, what we call the superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a fight for us Americans because we want to take over the reins of the hockey world. And we're doing that in tournament in, tournament out, the World Juniors. We seem to be dominating in. You see more Americans in the game today than ever before. And especially with the political situation and all the things going on with President Trump, talking about the 51st state in Canada, Canada saying, we don't want any part of you. The prides of both countries are coming through. The storyline continues. The booing of the national anthem, the pride that both teams have, but especially the Tkachuk brothers that literally are taking it into their own hands to make sure that they're dragging 20 guys and maybe 350 million Americans into loving a hockey game, being into a hockey game, and into a rivalry. That's kind of what they've created right now. There's no game, no sport in the world, especially in North America, that's more in the spotlight or more talked about than this hockey game is tonight. And it has a chance of being the most watched hockey game in years.
That's funny, too, that you meant I was just talking about Keith Tkachuk. Keith of the Tkachuks was a player the last time the U.S. won a best-of series against Canada back in 1996.
And he fought Claude Lemieux. In the second round. And Adam Foote fought John LeClair, and Billy Guerin fought Adam, you know. It was one of those games. And trust me, the Tkachuk brothers, the Tkachuk boys, they know exactly what this means in American hockey. It knows what it means in hockey, not just American hockey, but just hockey in general, what it stands for to be a good teammate, what it stands to be proud and play for your country, because Keith Tkachuk did it himself. He did it alongside me, Mike Modano, Tony Amonte, Chris Chelios. We go on and on.
Did he win that fight against Lemieux? I don't remember. Did he kick Claude Lemieux's ass? Yeah, okay.
Of course he did. Yeah. Of course he did. And they won the tournament, you know, which was, again, that was a huge jump for American hockey. This is a huge jump for American hockey because these kids that are in their country's colors have never been in their country's colors at this level before. This is the peak that none of them have played in the Olympics. Olympics was 10 years ago. They're playing in the Olympics again next year. So this is the first time that they've ever been able to put these jerseys on and play for their country and play for the pride. And by the way, that pride is shining through in this tournament because it's been an unbelievable tournament to watch. And this tonight's game is going to be a great ending in the middle of an NHL hockey season, which is even more impressive.
A couple things about that as we continue with Jeremy Roenick right here on 670 The Score. I hadn't thought about Claude Lemieux in a long time. He may be a lovely guy. I have no idea, but my goodness, that's a punchable face.
I know. He's one of my best friends in the world. I've known him for over 25 years, 30 years. Yeah. And he is the exact friend that you love to hate, but he's just...
right?
Yeah. I love him to death, but I want him on my team. I do not want him against me. You know, three cups, three different teams, two Conn Smythe, and known as the most hated player, I think, maybe ever in hockey, which is a tough pill to swallow if you're a player.
And but some people just have that face, man. He's got AJ Pierzynski face or Jay Cutler face. It's just
is that the face you love to punch? Yeah, that's Claude. And yeah. To know Claude is to love Claude. And his son is my son's best friend.
Wow.
And it goes way back. But we battled out back in 96, and there's going to be 10-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 11-year-olds that are going to watch this game tonight, and they're going to want to be professional athletes. They're going to want to play in this game in 15, 10 years. And it's going to boost American hockey and Canadian hockey and hockey all across North America or the world. It's going to be great.
That's the goods. Jeremy Roenick had 23 goals and 25 assists in his career while wearing a Team USA sweater in international competition. For the first time, it was the U.S. Juniors. You had just turned 19, or were you 18 as a U.S. junior? And what did it mean to put on the sweater at that time, if you can think back?
Yeah, actually, I played in it twice at 18 and 19. So it was 88 and 87, 88, and 88, 89. So it was I got to do it twice, and there's just nothing like it. I also got to put on the jersey in 1991 for the Canada Cup, which is the last time that tournament was called the Canada Cup, one of the greatest tournaments of all time. 87 might have been one of the best teams ever seen, with Mario and Gretzky and all that stuff playing in that Canada Cup. But it was there's pride, man. You're playing for millions and millions of people. You're not playing for a city or a state. You're playing for a country, and more eyes are on you, and there's more passion that flows through you, and a lot more pressure. And I always liked that kind of pressure, but I also liked that attention. And when more attention's on there, it's like, give me the puck. Let me show you what I can do. And I want to win for the USA because I love the red, white, and blue, period. Just love it.
Does it? Obviously, it means a ton to you, Jeremy, and maybe always has, but I've always had the feeling that it means more to Canada to win this tournament, just because hockey, right? Hockey is Canada. Is that, like, has the U.S. It sounds to me like throughout this interview, I'm starting to feel that maybe the USA is caught up in desire to win these things, or has it always been there?
Well, it's always been there in Canada because if that is the main sport in Canada, it's always leads every news night. It's on the cover of every magazine, every newspaper, every morning. It's the lead story all the time. There are more people per capita that play hockey than any other sport in Canada. Here, obviously, there's 350 million people in America, and I think they're in Canada, it's not even a quarter of that. So obviously the population loves their sport more, so there's more attention on it. So is it bigger for Canada? Absolutely, because per capita, more people in Canada are going to be watching this game or more interested in this game than there will be in the United States. But doesn't mean that it's not as important. But I will say Canada is losing their grip a little bit as the powerful of superpowers. Because I think USA is right there and in perfect position to grasp that mantle away from them.
This will be
a good opportunity for them to save it or go back to the drawing board and have to retool it and get back to the drawing board and retrieve it again.
When he was drafted, I think a lot of us figured that Connor Bedard would be part of this kind of thing a couple years in. He was a superstar for Team Canada at age 10 and 12 and 14. Like, are you surprised that it hasn't gone the way that we thought it would go by this point of his career?
No, I think, it's very, very difficult to be a teenager in a sport like hockey. It is a demanding sport. It's a physical sport. It's a big boy sport that demands a lot of physicality, durability, understanding the game, and growth. And I think Connor Bedard in his first 2 years has maybe overperformed, maybe more than I thought that he would, because he is smaller. But the kid is so talented. He can play the game at a high level. He shoots the puck better than 95% of the National Hockey League. He sees the ice and has the IQ that's very rare. His body will grow into the game. His confidence will grow into the game with more reps, more years under his belt, and he's going to understand more and more. He's only 19 years old, and there will be times for him to be in a game like this in that Canadian jersey. Who knows? Maybe next year it will be with the Olympics. He has another year to grow. But, you know, I think the Hawks are going to do a good job of putting players around him and building that team. I know they're dedicated to doing that. And we hope great things for Connor Bedard because he hopes great things for himself. And, you know, I wish them the best always.
Are you guys cool? We got to make sure our heroes of decades past are cool with the youngins up and coming. Want to make sure you guys are cool.
Hey, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I want Connor Bedard to win MVP every year because it'll be a Chicago thing. I mean, I'm going into my grave with a Chicago Blackhawks jersey on, boys. I don't know if you know that. But,
oh, I know.
I'm gonna root for this team left, right, and center, and I know they're dedicated to putting a better product on the ice, and I believe that they will do that. I mean, they've done it before, and they'll do it again, and Connor Bedard's a big part of that. And, you know, if there are things that he needs to work on, he knows it. He doesn't need anybody to tell him, and he's a motivated player, and he will do that. And if I can help him or Chelly can help him or anybody along the way can help him, then we'll do that because that's what we do. We all stick together as a team.
Jeremy, if Claude Lemieux was one of the most hated guys in the NHL and punchable, as Spiegel said, who do you have a top five or top three of guys that were most hated?
Yeah, I would be second, third, and fourth, and then Darian Hatcher would be fifth.
Jeremy, we'll never punch you. We'll call you again, but we won't punch you. Thanks, man. We appreciate this.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Great being with you guys. Love Chicago.
See you, man.
All right. Yeah, it's Jeremy Roenick.
10 Bears.
Right there.
10 Bears. Oh, man. I mean, he really does. Like, what I love about him, he's emotional about Chicago. You know what I mean? But, like, anytime I hear him, he loves the fact that he has an association with this beautiful city.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. And Eddie O said something on the morning show today about this thing that made me understand it in a completely different way. I want to share that with you next. It's Spiegel & Ohm, Spiegs & Grody on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I made Team USA at 16 years old in the summer of 1983 and turning 17 and then playing in the Olympics in February of 84, we were following the footsteps of the Miracle on Ice. When I put on that sweater, I always felt that I was not only representing our country in a sporting, in a sporting venue, but that I was playing for and representing the players that paved the way for me, and then play for those guys inside that room, and then pave and play for the players that came after me in the game of hockey. It means so much.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
God, that hit me in the feels this morning when Eddie O said exactly that, that when he put on the sweater, he thought he was playing for everybody that was on Team USA before him, and it was Miracle on Ice 4 years before Eddie O wore the sweater in Sarajevo in 1984. Crazy. And then everybody coming after, that he felt like he was part of a lineage, and that just, it just hit me right in the heart when he talked about it that way, Mark Grody.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, this is one of those things. Like, you can go back, if you're going to bring up 84 and the 1980, Miracle on Ice and all of that, it was stuff like that that forced people to pay attention to it. And I know the Olympics was a different animal back then because everybody was watching it and into it. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you've got our attention now, just like with this tournament that is being played. I love the pride that was flooding out of Jeremy Roenick, not just for Team USA, but his love for Chicago. I mean, he obviously is very loyal to the people that take care of him. So it was cool to hear that. I still think, you ready for this, Speaks?
Yes.
All that to say, I still think Canada cares way more than the USA, and I think their players probably care way more than the USA players.
It's the birthplace of the game.
Yes,
it's their sport.
That's right.
But
there's already a base set. Like, you can't overcome that.
You tell me if you ever thought about it quite as simply as Eddie O puts it in this piece of tape that we're about to play from this morning, in terms of how it feels to the Americans when you're on the ice with the Canadians. Listen to this.
I only can speak to USA Hockey in being an alum of Team USA. And I've always looked at it, and I think a lot of my teammates over the years, is that we've always looked at our friends north of the border, as in Canada, is our biggest rival. Always has been, always will be. It's not been reciprocated, to be quite honest. The biggest rival for Canada has always been Russia. And I think in order to have a rivalry, I know what the argument is, in order to have a rivalry, individually or country-wise or team-wise, both teams got to win a few games, both teams
right.
got to win a few tournaments. And unfortunately for us, that being, when I say us, Team USA, we have not had the success as Canada has. And I understand that. But I still think that there is the feeling through USA Hockey, and these players in particular, is there still is a lack of hockey respect from our biggest rival. And I think that with everything going on, like, I'm not going down the PC world right now. I'm not. But considering what's going on off the ice, with both countries right now, the anthems of what's taken part. So I think there's just a lot of things going on. But to me, the most important—I shouldn't say most important—but I think the biggest reason why is that taking people inside and and getting through the weeds is that we've always had that mindset of they're our biggest rival and we're still, not up to their par. And look, I understand wins are wins, and we understand that. But I just think that that's what makes it, and the feeling for at least Team USA, is why this is so important to a lot of people, and especially these young hockey players that get that unbelievable opportunity to win this tournament on home ice in Boston. And it should be a lot of fun to be able to watch.
Man, if that doesn't make you get it in a different way, then nothing will. Imagine being an American player and having that chip on the shoulder your entire life of they don't even think of us as their rival. We want to beat them, and they're just looking over our shoulders, waiting for Russia at the next Olympics. Like, they don't even think that we can hang, and it just drives you and drives you and drives you, and it just makes so much sense for me to think about, because truth be told, that's the backdrop of Miracle on Ice, is not that they beat Canada, it's that they beat Russia, you know? And so forever, we're talking about generations of Canadian players knowing that Russia was the big bad hockey villain to beat, never the upstart USA, even though the league is down there.
I hate to say it, but the place my brain went immediately when I heard that was Bears Packers, because he was talking about how you have to win to make it a rivalry.
Absolutely.
And the Bears have not won against the Packers, and the Vikings for a while. I don't know where it stands still with Packers fans, but
sure,
they looked at the Minnesota, and might still in a lot of pockets look at the Minnesota Vikings as their rival, because the Bears haven't done their part, and Team USA is starting to do their part, and all it has taken is taking it a little bit more seriously.
You couldn't be more right. So what we're talking about here is like a triangular rivalry situation, you know, where like maybe Green Bay fans have looked at the Vikings, you know?
Yeah.
I can tell you.
Take us seriously.
Hey, man, for decades, my dad and every Red Sox fan wanted the Yankees to look at them as their rival. And the Yankees were probably thinking about the Dodgers, because
yeah,
they'd meet them in the World Series and beat them. And then sometimes the Dodgers would beat them, you know? So it's a triangular rivalry situation. And it's like, imagine how much that drives that third piece in the triangle, that little brother, the whole way. It's like, God, it's probably like being NC State or Georgia Tech and wanting UNC or Duke to take you seriously, but they're all looking at each other, and you spend your whole time being like, well, you know, why don't you look at me, MF?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
That's
and,
right.
And like, how much that can drive you to end up being better,
right,
and drive you as an organization to get better.
Did the Cardinals ever deviate from Cubs-Cardinals for a while when the Cubs sucked and they were winning all the time? Was there another team that the Cardinals were like, yeah, you're not really our rivals anymore? I don't know. I don't think
Boy,
so. I think that has stayed the same.
I don't know. It's a great call, but I'm sure
yeah,
there was a while there where the Cubs, where the Cardinals and the Brewers, you know, it was probably
yeah,
a couple years.
That's a great call.
Was there a Royals thing with them meeting in the World Series, especially with that controversial call in that,
yes,
that game with them?
Yeah, that's a good Dodgers Yankees call comp in that kind of like every once in a while you meet and you think about it.
Yeah,
in that way. But like, yeah, it probably happens. If you got some out there, hit us at 312-644-6767. But like, I totally get being an American player and thinking like, why aren't you worried about us? We're worried about you. You're not even worried about us.
Right?
So screw you.
Yeah. And I think that for the most part, I think the USA has accepted that, because we do accept that. You think of Canada when you think of hockey. Like,
yeah,
I get it. I understand where, I mean, even JR was saying, there's 350 million people in this country. You know, we're focused on more sports than just hockey. So I
yeah,
get it. And like I said, like, people just haven't cared that much. And now, like, just with this tournament, with some of the stuff that has been sparked up in the fights, people care. And it's going to
yeah,
be fun to watch tonight.
Yeah. And it's like, it's another opportunity to get mindful and try to stay in the minute. And like I was saying at the top of the hour, like, don't get caught up in like the, if anybody is, or like anybody tries to talk to you about like, well, but this isn't the season and this isn't what matters. Screw you. Shut up. I'm watching the game.
You know, it's a low key one when we talk about rivals and then do they take you seriously anymore? And this is
yeah,
sort of the Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know what I mean? Like they're kind of trampling the Bulls right now. You know,
yes,
I mean, that
yes,
is one where the little guy like Canada to the USA has a big hold on the great, big, beautiful city of Chicago right now by a
mile. Oh, absolutely.
Should be a good rivalry, but I don't think it is.
No, it's not. No way is it a good rivalry.
No, but it should
and
be.
And it's like, and that Cubs-Cardinals thing, man, was like, for so long, it was, the institutional model that you wanted to aspire to in addition to the divisional rival. Like, it really did have the Red Sox-Yankee thing. We're like, oh, well, they do it right, and then there's us, you know? Yeah. It's like, and you want that kind of thing flipped. So thinking of USA and Canada in that way, it makes three fights in the first 9 seconds make a lot more sense.
Somebody says Cardinals-Mets. I mean, there was a time when the Mets were in the National League East with the Cubs and the Cardinals. I don't necessarily remember that. Did that rivalry
I think 2006
take over?
NLCS when I think of those two teams, right? Like, but beyond that, what I can't think of any big matchups between them.
Or just a rivalry. Not off the top of my head, but 06, yeah.
No, but it's like that triangular thing. It's like, I mean, right now that National League East with Atlanta and the Mets and the Phillies, like, all kind of going at each other. And then there's the Centrals.
Although I could see Mets and Cardinals battling for 1980 supremacy in the National League, right?
Yeah,
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Going back to that.
Just the two divisions.
Yeah.
Those Whitey Herzog teams, like the White Rat teams with Tommy Herr and Tito Landrum and Coleman and all those guys. Yeah. And then that Mets team that won it all in 86, for sure.
That's
so I'm
true.
Sure Cubs fans of a certain vintage wanting the Cardinals to take them seriously and having them look past you, I could absolutely see
Cubs
that.
Intertwined themselves in that all that stuff once in 84, and then that was just about it until 1989 when they, with Jerome Walton and company, they won the division.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, but it's kind of like any Big Ten football team wanting to be taken as seriously as Michigan and Ohio State take each other.
You'll love this one, Spiegel, from the 229. Keith Hernandez going from Cardinals to Mets. That may have created some of the rivalry. That's pretty good.
Outstanding.
Did you prefer Keith Hernandez in a Cardinals uniform or a Mets uniform?
Oh, yeah, I hated the Mets.
Yeah.
I hated the Cardinals, too,
so that's a toss-up for me.
I think I hated the Mets more than the Cardinals as a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? Actually,
I mean, those 80s Mets teams were just so freaking arrogant, and they were using all the cocaine.
Yeah,
all
the cocaine. Daryl Strawberry flipping off Cubs fans every chance that he got at Wrigley Field.
And Doc Gooden being awesome. Awesome.
Coked
but
up and awesome,
me.
Yes. Yeah.
Wally
Backman and Tim Tuffle and who else was in that outfield? That
God
annoying.
Blame.
Oh, Dykstra. Nails. Yeah. Nails was in that outfield.
Greg Jeffries.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What, Mark Rohde, Matt Beagle, if you don't stop naming Mets, you guys just sit around naming Mets.
That's what's going on. Rusty Stobb. Let me tell about Rusty Stobb.
Yeah, Ron Darling. All right, he's Grody. I'm Spiegel. There's a new possible NFL free agent. Should Bears fans be all over it? Yeah, I think you probably should. Let's talk about it next on The Score.
In the gun, 42 of the Chargers, 3rd and 3 for the Jets. In the shotgun formation, 3 wide, looks into a nickel. There's the shotgun snap, a 4-man rush, pocket crumbles, he's hit. Ball joint free, it's loose, and it's a fumble at the 50, and it's recovered by Bosa. It's recovered by the Chargers.
That guy's a beast, man. Joey Bosa is an absolute beast when he plays. And he's been hurt. He's been hurt often the past couple years. But the report came out today that the Chargers are likely to cut him so they can maybe offer him a new deal and restructure it. The Chargers would like to get him back. There should be a robust market, is the quote from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. He's on the books for $36.47 million in 2025. That is the most money about that any edge rusher is owed. But if Joey Bosa becomes a free agent, sign me the hell up. Without the draft pick compensation you got to give up for Myles Garrett, you're going to have to throw a lot of money somewhere. The Bears have a ton of cap space. We talked about how the salary cap went up even further. We've also talked about how flexible and malleable the salary cap can be. I got no troubles paying two edge rushers a lot of money. I just don't want to give up draft capital to do that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit more skeptical about Joey Bosa just because of his last few years, Speaks. I mean, you hear Bosa and you get excited, but he played in 14 games last year and had just 5 sacks. As a matter of fact, The last time he had double-digit sacks was the year 2021 when he had 10.5. He had injury issues, Speaks. I mean, 2022, played in 5 games. 2023, 9 games. I'm not sure if I am ready to open up everything for Bosa at this point, being that it's been a while since he's been productive. He's 29, so it's not like he can't get back to being Bosa, but I'm looking at that a little more side-eyed. And you know, Myles Garrett, that's my target.
I know, but then you got to trade stuff. Shane, you're in on Bosa, aren't you? Dude's a beast.
I am all in on any edge rusher that can get to the quarterback. And when he's healthy, Nick Bosa gets to the quarterback. And I'm with you, Speaks, no draft pick compensation. It is an absolute no-brainer. If they let him hit the market, go ahead, put your Ben Johnson out there. Put your Dennis Allen out there. Put Richard Hightower out there.
Careful with your Johnson out there.
Well, I mean, it depends. We don't know what Nick Bosa likes. Put your Johnson wherever you want to put your Johnson, as long as there's consent.
This is Joey.
Oh, did I say Nick? Sorry. I made the segment. Sorry.
If we're going to disparage a Bosa, let's make sure it's the right one.
I'm sorry. I totally meant Joey. But no, this is the kind of edge rusher that I want. As long as he's healthy, Joey Bosa should be a Bear.
Yeah, you're not scared, though? I mean, Shane, 4 years since he's had a double-digit sack season.
I don't care.
That's okay.
Don't care. Stay healthy.
All right.
Figure it out, Bears.
I mean, either him or Khalil Mack. I don't think they can keep both, right? That's the whole idea.
Probably not. That would be cool to have Khalil Mack back, though.
Yeah, it would. And it would certainly be cheaper and more manageable.
He has unfinished business here is what it is, Speaks. Bring Khalil Mack back to Chicago so he could sneak out of the building before the media gets a chance to talk to him.
Or before the Packers sign him. I've heard that kicking around. Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't want that. Khalil Mack on one side, Rashawn Gary on the other. I don't like that.
Yeah, he'd have a little something for the Bears, I'm sure. Khalil Mack would. Of course, he played his first ever game against the Green Bay Packers when he was with the Bears.
It was very good that night.
Yes,
and
he was.
The Bears looked great against the Packers. Superb. Up until the second half.
That first drive, though, Mitch Trubisky marching him right down the field. Oh, yeah. Matt Nagy looked like a genius.
Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers on a bad knee just decided to get the ball out faster. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you can do that. That's great.
And he's back.
Yeah, this was fun. All roads are leading to Bears Packers, and that's not fun. We'll see, though. The next segment I don't think should lead there. Happy anniversary to our guy. Let's talk to him. Let's discuss. And he gets an audio treatment of some kind as well. Oh. You're listening to The Score.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.